Think about the commonly accepted pronouns we use, he or she. But what if that person to whom we're referring doesn't identify as male or doesn't identify as female? Recently, the Washington Post gave a green light to using they as a singular pronoun. The gender-neutral title Mix MX is also making its way into dictionaries. Let's talk more now about the ways gender-neutral language is moving into the mainstream as we say hello to U of N professor of English and Michigan Radio's resident linguist, Anne Curzan. Always good to have you here, Anne.
Glad to be here.
Haven't issues of gender and language come up before? I mean, we used to use he as a generic term. We don't do that anymore. What's different about this recent push?
The issue of generic pronouns has been on the table for a while. As you note, for a long time, we were told to use he as a generic. That actually comes from somewhere. That started in 18th century grammars. What they were doing was saying, don't use they as a singular, use he, which would indicate that lots of people were already using they as a singular, and these grammar books were correcting them.
Okay. All right.
So 18th century, we get this idea that he is the generic. That lasts for almost 200 years. 1970s, with second wave feminism, you start to see pushback where people are saying, he is really not generic.
And not me.
And not me. And started proposing alternatives. And the alternatives that we've been living with for the past 20 or 30 years have been he or she, which I think many of us find can get a little bulky if you have to use a lot of them, recast the whole sentence as plural, or rewrite the sentence so you don't have a pronoun at all.
Okay, which I have caught myself doing at times.
Oh, and there's one more alternative, which is you can alternate. So in one paragraph, use he, in the next paragraph, use she. I have to say I find that fairly disconcerting as a reader when I hit those.
And now we've got this push based on gender identity, sexual identity, to use gender-neutral pronouns. We mentioned this mix, MX, that's making its way in, or they. There are other words I've seen, Z-E, here, H-I-R. Someone else mentioned H-I-R-M.
Right. In fact, there have been proposals for artificial pronouns, the Z-E, here. Those go back to at least the late 19th century. I know. People think that this is new, that we've been proposing alternatives. But the alternatives go back more than 100 years. Dennis Barron, who's a terrific linguist, has a long list of these over the years of what's been proposed. Now, interestingly, I'm struck when people say English has no singular generic pronoun, because in fact, English does have a singular generic pronoun. It is they. And we have been using they as a singular generic for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Why does my mind immediately think plural? They as in group of people and they. Why? How did I fall into that idea of thinking that was plural?
Well, because it is plural and we commonly use it as plural. But we also, if you listen to us speak, commonly use it as singular. You will hear things like, a teacher should learn their students' names. Or, I was talking to a friend of mine and they told me that that's a great restaurant.
You're absolutely right.
I was talking to a friend and they said. Now, people will say to me, but Anne, they cannot be singular and plural at the same time. To which my first response is, but it is.
So, can't say it can't because.
So, if you listen to what we actually do, it already is. And then my second answer, after I've been kind of obnoxious, is to say, look at the pronoun you, which is both singular and plural at the same time. English used to make a distinction, thou for singular, you for plural. That distinction has collapsed, and now you can be both singular and plural. And in standard English, it always takes the plural verb, are. So you will get you are with one person, you are with many people, and we all manage. And the fact is, for hundreds of years, we've used they as a singular, and we've been fine. I am therefore really delighted to see the Washington Post finally saying in their style guide, if all else fails, they're not willing to say it's okay, unless all else fails, you can use they as a singular, both for generic situations like a teacher should learn their students' names, but also for situations where a person identifies outside the male-female binary.
So they're actually, you know, kind of coming along with that. And I'm wondering, have you used that in any way in your everyday conversation and everyday writing in referring to someone who does not identify as male or female?
I have. And I have had a couple of students who have said to me that they is their preferred pronoun. I've been tracking this conversation about whether students should have the right to tell people what pronoun they prefer. And my response to that is, this is a question of respect. That if someone says to you, this is the pronoun I prefer, then out of respect, one uses the pronoun that someone prefers. In the same way, if someone says, my name is Benjamin, but please call me Mitch, well then, out of respect, you call that person Mitch. And if they say, I prefer they as a pronoun, then one should respect that choice.
And really, isn't language about denoting respect or lack thereof and used it that way? When you think of changes to personal pronouns, and there probably will be some pushback to this because we have a lot of people kind of clutching their pearls over plurals and singulars. We also saw this in the 70s with the introduction of Ms., didn't we? There was lots of, how could they? It's Mr. or Mrs. or Miss.
Right. And you have to know. You somehow have to know whether that woman is married or not. And now, as you said, we're seeing the introduction of MX as a title. And the idea here is that you don't need to know someone's gender. And you'll hear the same thing of, but you have to know. And what's interesting is we have other titles where you don't know. So Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so. Those are gender neutral. And I see no reason why you couldn't have MX as a gender neutral title. And interestingly, the Royal Bank of Scotland has already added this to their drop down menu when you're choosing your title, that you can choose MX as the title. They've actually apparently been doing this for over a year.
So get with the Royal Bank of Scotland. All right. Setting the pace. Who would have thought that? Do you think these gender neutral pronouns will one day be as commonly accepted as ones we know now?
Well, I think they will. Mm-hmm. It's already the pronoun of choice in the spoken language. It's already happened. And what we're watching now is the gatekeepers of more formal written language slowly but surely allowing it in. I will be interested to watch what happens with some of these artificial pronouns. That's a harder case. It's harder to convince people to use an artificial pronoun. But for example, there are some folks who've wanted to use Z as a transgender pronoun. And I think that it could work. It's a slightly different argument from that is a generic pronoun.
Yeah.
And I will be interested to watch this. People said, you'll never be able to get people to say firefighter instead of fireman or police officer instead of policeman. And in fact, now a lot of us say firefighter, police officer, flight attendant. So when people say you can't change pronouns, say, maybe you can.
If we've learned one thing in talking with you, the language is very fluid, always moving. Don't carve it in stone.
It's true. I love that summary.
Oh, there we go. Ann Curzan, Michigan Radio's resident linguist, co-host of That's What They Say and professor of English at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much.
Thanks.